Wildlife Commission, Saturday, February 7th, 2015. Agenda item 11 is open public input. I need some sheets. Oh. Did I need to do that again?
Very efficient.
You ready now? I don't have to do that again, do I?
No, you don't have to.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, everyone knows the rules, I suspect. Commission rules are 3 minutes. When the 3 minute buzzer goes off, you got about 3 seconds to wrap up your sentence, and then we'll move forward. So I'm going to call you up two at a time. And Kurt Kramer and Steve Shaneweiss, if I have that right. The other thing is, please give us your name and the correct pronunciation and who you're representing, if possible.
Commissioners, Vice Chair, Director, it's wonderful to see you guys this morning. I'm glad to be here. Normally, the last few times I've been here, I've talked about Occupy Skagit and Skagit Steelhead. That remains a vital interest of mine and a great concern. But today I'd like to talk about north of Falcon, and more specifically north of Falcon and Puget Sound. I think we all agree that that process is broken, and we need to find some way of moving forward with that and looking at fixes. I'm not here to complain about the situation, but actually to suggest a possible venue to move forward and see if in the long term we can correct some of the underlying issues that caused that process to be broken. I've thought about this quite a bit for several years, and my thoughts were crystallized a bit about 3 months ago when I was contacted by the Northwest Indian Fish Commission to do a little taping coming off of some of the comments I made on posting on some of the fishing forums. And there again, once it illustrates, be careful what you put on the internet. You might get bit in the rear, and in this case, I did. But they asked me to talk a bit about allocations, mixed stock fisheries, recreational desires, those kinds of things. And when I was thinking about that, in my previous life, as most of you know, I worked for the agency. And one of the most effective things that we ever did in salmon recovery planning and working with the public is when the state and the tribes could stand shoulder to shoulder at the podium and discuss issues. Whenever we did that, we were very, very effective. And I think what we need to do is find a method of reopening that kind of concept moving forward, communications between the treaty and non-treaty folks, and try to find common ground so that we've built communication pathways and trust when we have issues of disagreement, which is often the case in North of Falcon where we're talking about allocations. The reality is we share a lot of commonality. And, you know, a classic is, you know, in Puget Sound, ESA Chinook are listed, and the, you know, society's desire is to recover those. But the reality is that to recover Puget Sound Chinook is an incredibly low threshold. It's at the interest of all the users, whether they're non-treaty or tribal, to shoot for a standard that's much higher than that. And what I would like to suggest is that we need to open communications and a potential way of doing that, and I don't have an answer, I just have a potential pathway, is opening dialogues between the Northwest Indian Fish Commission and this commission, talk about some of these underlying things and visions of where we have commonality, can move forward. And I think a mechanism to do that would be via the website, something that the North Virginia Fish Commission was already talking about, developing what we might look at, a North of Falcon site, some of the biological information, the goals, frequently answered questions, asked questions, you know, and we could look at your larger visions that you folks could look forward moving forward. It's an idea that... It's just an idea. I don't know if there's a kernel of validity to it. I encourage you to think about it. If not, well, I'll just put it in Kramer's bin of half-baked ideas. But I think there's some real potential there, and I really encourage you to think about that. And if you want more of my additional thoughts, I'm always available. Thank you.
Thank you, Kurt. Mr. Shaneweiss?
You got my name right.
Thank you.
Yeah. I was born in 1953. I moved to Washington State in 1955, and I've hunted waterfowl here every year since 1962. I'm currently retired. I hunt about 50 days a year now. I'm a serious hunter. And I wish to address the issue of waterfowl baiting rules. Basically, I think that you should consider making it illegal to hunt waterfowl over unharvested agricultural fields, especially if they are flooded. The reason is that these conditions are overly attractive to ducks and geese, and they essentially represent baiting and not fair chase. These conditions are so successful that commercial hunting outfits have now begun building what they call corn ponds, which are small fields that they grow grain in. They don't harvest it, and then they flood it, and then they slaughter ducks and geese. And this is so successful that these outfits can now literally guarantee hunters a limit of mallards and a limit of geese, and they fulfill that promise. And the real concern that I have about this is that eventually, if these outfits get a refuge lake where they can get birds to rest and then hunt them in the corn ponds, more and more waterfowl will find these reservation areas, these sanctuaries, and begin to pile into these places and abandon other wild public lands. And I fear that at some point in the future, we're going to end up with having all the ducks in Washington State on sanctuary lakes being hunted on corn ponds. In summary, I think you should make it illegal to hunt flooded, unharvested fields. And I think you should also consider making it illegal to simply hunt any fields that are not grown and harvested with normal agricultural techniques. And I have submitted written testimony in more detail about this, too. Thank you.
Thank you. That concludes our